I'm in the studio with Joy Jones, who's got a brand new album out called Godchild, and it is certainly a blessing and a blessing to be sitting with you. I want to talk to you about this really gorgeous album. I first heard of you on GB's track After All, a soundtrack for Sunrise. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you've been popping up different places all over. Tell us about Godchild. Tell us about this beautiful album, your preparation for it.
Wow, this album has just been such a journey, a beautiful journey, but just a lot has gone into it. It started as a totally different project back when I was living in London. And just throughout the years, the beauty is that I've become much more familiar with equipment in studios and how to make my own beats and how to pull artists together. And so really in the past maybe 3 years or so, this album as we know it now has come to be. And Godchild is just my offering to the people in terms of my journey and the things I'm dealing with and thinking about and, you know, wondering about. So I'm hoping that it blesses somebody else or touches somebody in some way.
Well, we certainly have been blessed by it. I know Christy Lomax and I, when we found out an album was coming forward, we were like, Joy Jones, we were like, Godchild. I love that you describe your sound as Afrobeat lullabies. I think you said future jazz protest songs and electronic hymns, which I think is a beautiful description and sort of a great way to break up this interview into the three parts that I think are present in this album.
Thank you.
I want to really start with the electronic hymns, and I'd have to go with The Joy and This Too Shall Pass. I have to say, sister, you took me back to my vacation Bible school days.
My vacation Bible school.
You really took me back there because The Joy, the lyrics were the first, I think, song I learned as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd get excited, you know. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on the tack.
Yep.
So when you took me back there, I was like, we're going in. Talk about writing that song, those two songs, The Joy and This Too Shall Pass. Talk about that process.
Well, I think it took me back to my vacation Bible school days, too. I mean, I've been brought up completely grown and raised in the church. Both of my grandfathers were pastors, so
okay.
A lot of my time was spent in church choirs and listening to them preach and all of that. So being that my name was The Joy, people always thought it was kind of cute, like, oh,
right.
I got The Joy. You know,
right.
they think it was real original and whatnot.
Right.
But I've learned to embrace that and think, what a beautiful song to have associated with you. And I want it always associated with me. Then really thinking about it as a grown person and just thinking of like the spiritual warfare that we go through, like day to day, you're always coming up against stuff and having to reaffirm yourself. And, you know, you said with the devil, if the devil doesn't like it, he can sell an attack. I was like, get the hell back. You know, like, devil, you need to get the hell back. You know?
Right,
that's
right.
That's the grown joy. The
right.
little girl joy would say, sitting on tack. But, you know, the grown joy is like, get the hell back.
Right.
You know? So that's really what it's about. It's kind of like just my hymn, my own little anthem, you know? So, yeah, that's what I was thinking about it.
One of the things I joke about all the time, and I talk about soul and electronica having become a really cute couple, and the result sort of being Future Soul and Broken Beat. And sometimes I joke, I'll be like, they should mix Broken Beat and gospel. And so when I heard this Two Shall Pass, I was like, mission accomplished, right?
Thank you.
Because it certainly has a message. And I think the overall feeling that I got about this album, not just from the title, because Godchild can mean two things, you know, your Godchild and being a child of God. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an interesting play on that. Talk about the art that went into the album, because certainly the cover picture on the album is beautiful. It's very, I think, unabashedly black.
Well, thank
you. Tons of color in the background. Mm. And it sort of reminded me, I was thinking of Stevie Wonder, I think that was Musicarium. Gorgeous colors behind it. Was that by design? Is that what you wanted to?
Oh, definitely. I'm just an artsy person. Like, I love to dance, I love to paint, I like to cook. I mean, you name it. I like to create more than anything. So just in terms of this endeavor, it was really important that every aspect be representative of just who I feel that I am artistically. The artist who actually put that together was Mitchy Boy in London, but we collaborated a lot, you know, in terms of the colors. I know he was sick of me trying to get that thing done. He was like, enough. But it's really important to me. Even now, we're about to put out a video, and we've been, you know, we got our little Super 8 camera, and Keith and I were all around. Even the first video that's out, To the Joy, that was us. We took a trip to Paris, and we were just shooting that ourselves, you know?
I was going to ask you about that because I saw that on YouTube and I thought it was awesome. It definitely looked like Super 8 and it was just you amongst the people in the city. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you what city. I thought London, but Paris.
We were in Paris. Yeah. And I mean, and it's really great that technology has advanced to the point where as an artist, you can really have a hands-on approach to your art and how it comes out. You know, you can make a video and put it on the internet.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Nowadays folks aren't spending a whole lot of money on videos. They got their little camera, they got their friend who's going to edit it, you know. And it's really great because I think there's a real purity that is transpired from the artist to the people, like without the middleman and the A&R person trying to tell you should do it this way or that way. Like, you get to hear and see exactly what the artist wants to portray.
I read a beautiful quote. You were featured on NPR.org, Song of the Day, and I thought that was really dope. John Murph, he said, "Broken beat music, a subgenre of electronic music rooted in West London, is never more potent than when it's anchored by soulful vocals."
Mm-hmm.
For those who aren't familiar with your journey in broken beat and the whole West London sound, talk about how you hooked up with Daz IQ and the Broken Beat family, how that came to be.
Well, I think even just my arrival in London was completely divine. Like, I graduated from college, and everybody had these plans in terms of what they were going to do next. They were on to medical school or law school, and I just cannot stand that people would ask me what I was going to do, and I had no idea. So I applied to graduate school. I got accepted, and, like, in 2 weeks, I was on a plane to London. Didn't know anybody, you know, was staying in a hostel. It was like that city really embraced me. Before I knew it, literally, I had a whole family. Daz IQ, Ty from London, Breeze, just a lot of incredible artists surrounded me. And when I first went into the studio with Daz, I had been doing a lot of spoken word and a lot of just singing around. They have all kinds of little jam sessions and stuff, and I was everywhere. You know, I thought I was Miss London. You can't tell me nothing. I did a session with him for the song Beautiful. That tells you how old Beautiful is as a song.
Mm.
We did a session for it. He was like, you know, we have this beat. I want to see what you think about it. And I was like, yeah, with my little fake British accent. It's a mess anyhow. Yeah, and he really liked it, and people really responded to it. And he was just like, I'm on board. Let's just do this. Let's make this journey together. And as the album has changed a lot since then, he has been like my number one supporter. He really took me under his wings. He taught me a lot in the studio of, you know, how to carry yourself and the things to do, the questions to ask, how certain equipment works. And I'm so grateful. So my time there in London was incredible, really, because I was so open to so many different artistic experiences. I felt like there they weren't so bogged down with all the titles and the genres. Like, they would just make stuff up, and they're like, we'll give it its own name, you know? It can be broken beat. It can be future jazz. It can, we'll just call it whatever we want it.
Right.
You want to, you know? And coming from the States, I was like, well, no, it has to be R&B or it has to be folk or pop or, you know, I was like, so what, you can just create a sound and you can just call it whatever you want and
right.
that's it? People
right.
just need to deal with it, you know? So I think for me, that was the most empowering message I got from my time in London, because I felt like I came back a little fearless, like, well, let's just do it. Can't nobody do me like I do
right.
me, so let's just try it,
right.
you know? So I think that's really what London gave me.
Certainly, Broken Beat is attached to West London and that whole scene. I think I've said before that Bugs in the Attic reminds me of Earth, Wind, and Fire with Cack Cack in
yes.
the background.
Yes.
And that they had the good fortune to find these vocalists, yourself, Bemba Segwe, Eska,
mm-hmm.
Deborah Jordan,
mm-hmm.
to kind of give this sound wings.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you're an ambassador for Broken Beat.
Thank you.
And for Future Soul. And I know that you are a trailblazer, and as such, people will come behind you. Who do you see as also picking up Future Soul and carrying the banner along with yourself?
It's really an exciting time in music. I'm really, really in support of the women that are out there that are getting behind the boards and they're producing their own stuff. People like Musina,
yeah.
you know, of course, like Miss Muldrow.
And, oh, yes.
You know, just people who are really making and creating their sounds, because I think that kind of like what we were talking about before, is some things get lost in translation. And if I'm a singer or songwriter and I come in, I'm trying to tell you about my song and I'm trying to get you to play the chords I want, I think something might get lost. But if I learn how to play the chords and I learn how to do all of that myself, once again, you get that purity, you know?
Right.
So those are some of the people I'm listening to that are current. But, I mean, I stay in, like, the old, whether it's Herbie Hancock or Stevie Wonder, of course, Nina Simone, like, you have to listen to that stuff. I think you really have to be studied as an artist and know your craft and know the people who came before you. I also listen to, you know, a lot of Mark DeClive Lowe.
Oh,
and that
yes.
guy, I just saw him doing a streamed concert the other day. That boy ain't no joke.
No.
He is ridiculous. And this is kind of what you're talking about in terms of Broken Beat. It lends itself to soul and to gospel, because when I go and I see Daz spin, I find myself making that stank face. You know, when it just gets good and your body is just on its own other thing, you kind of lose your rhythm for a minute.
Right.
And, like, because it really gets into your spirit and you really feel like